Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down between Jew and Gentile to form what Paul calls one new humanity, one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. I remember talking to a man once, and he was a prophet, and he had a vision of someone's heart. And when he looked at this person's heart through use of a gift of the Spirit, he saw cracks all over the heart. And he said, boy, you must have been hurt a lot. My guest, who's been a guest previously on Messianic Vision, is Mark Verkler. And Mark has produced a CD series called Prayers That Heal the Heart. And Mark, after going through this, just based on my experience of being a human for all of these years, most people have areas of their life where their heart has been broken. Is that your experience?
Sid, that's exactly my experience. And when I first got saved, Jesus healed my heart, and I felt very, very free. But after I'd lived for 20 more years after that, I'd had a lot of wounds that had built up because I'd been through tough situations and put up walls, and my heart was much more wounded and hurt 20 years after I got saved than it was the day that I got saved.
Now, just out of curiosity, you have a program with 7 supernatural prayers that when someone prays these prayers with understanding, you say it will totally dismantle a demon's home. And then it's easy, as opposed to difficult, to get that demon to leave what they consider to be their home, and people experience freedom. I don't get it. We're in ministry all of these years. There's the issue of whether a Christian can have a demon or not. We'll just put that one aside. How, after being in effective ministry for all these years, did you need your heart healed, and did you need these demons cast out of you?
Well, I was on a trip to Australia to teach for 21 days, and I was like, when I got there, during the worship time, I just realized I'm spending my time battling fear of rejection, self-rejection, anger, hatred, and I spent the whole 45 minutes of worship time just binding any demons that were causing that, and I realized, you know, Mark, you're really messed up here. You know, you shouldn't need to spend 45 minutes of worship time just binding demons and getting these negative pressures away from you. You shouldn't have to war negative pressures within you so consistently. And I had picked those up because life had slapped me up, and I'd lost a few jobs, got wounded, got hurt, put up walls of defensiveness, and demons came along and said, we can help you with those walls of defensiveness, and so I was pretty messed up.
But if someone had walked up to you and said, Mark, I discern you have a demon, I don't think you would have received that until you realized it yourself.
Well, you're right. You know, most people don't want to say, gee, I got a demon here. You know, it's kind of a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people. It's not so hard for me to swallow at this point because I believe Satan is an attacker, destroyer. He's constantly out to do a sin. And I believe that we do fall into sin from time to time. I sure do. And whenever I fall into sin, there's a demon right handy saying, I can help you with that one. And so I find that we're under attack and get mucked up pretty regularly and pretty easily. So the need for deliverance isn't a great big thing for me. It's just a part of life.
Okay. I happen to believe what you're saying is correct, and that's why I'm making this available to our Mishpucha. But what about the question, can a Christian have a demon?
Well, it's a tough question. People have debated it, and the debate would go away if there was a verse in the Bible that answered it. You know, and there isn't. There is no verse that says a Christian can have a demon, and there is no verse that says a Christian cannot have a demon. So, you know, what do we do when there's no clear verse in the topic? I mean, do we interpret some verses? We interpret some principles? We try to make our best guess? And that's fine, and I think we ought to allow a variance of opinion since the Bible doesn't clearly state it. And in my early years, I did not believe a Christian could have a demon. Now I believe that they can. And part of that came from examining the fruit of life, because the Bible says you can test things by their fruit. And I ran into a deacon in my church who came to me and said, I believe I have a demon. And by the time we were done ministering to him, we had cast out several demons, and his life was radically changed. And so the fruit of life spoke back to me and said, Mark, maybe it's time to change your theology, especially since there's no clear verse on it. Maybe you should allow life to speak to you.
Yeah, but some would say, how could a demon cohabit with the Spirit of God in the same body?
Well, how can sickness cohabit with the Spirit of God in the same body? I know lots of Christians who are sick, and so do you. And God is perfect health, so how can you have perfect health in your body and sickness at the same time? And the answer that I see is that there's many parts within us. We have a spirit, we have a soul with many compartments in our soul, plus we have a body with many different areas in the body. And yes, our spirit's indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but what we're doing is we're working out our soul's salvation. And the light of God is getting brighter and brighter, and as it does, it drives darkness, sin, sickness, and demons out as that light penetrates area after area of our inner being.
Okay, listen, that deal with sickness would push anyone over the line. I think that's extremely convincing. Let's talk about that first case that you were exposed to, that deacon.
Well, this deacon came to me and he said, you know, I have a sin that I cannot overcome. He said, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've beat myself up, I've memorized scripture, and the sin was lust. You know, he said, I undress every woman every Sunday in church, and it makes me so sick I can't stand it. And he said, do you think it could be a demon? And I'd never cast a demon out of anyone, but I'd heard about it, so I said, well, maybe. And so the elders of the church, two elders and me, that got together, we prayed for this man, and we commanded any demon of lust to manifest itself and come out. And a really gruff voice began to speak to us, and this man began to sweat and shake. And the voice said, I'm not coming out. And at that point, I decided a Christian can have a demon, because I got a deacon in my church with a sin he can't solve and a gruff voice speaking to me. And we said, yes, you are coming out. And we agreed, and we commanded that thing to come out, and it came out with several other demons. And I went back and checked with that deacon a month later, a year later, 2 years later, and I asked him, okay, this sin issue of lust, has it been dealt with? He said, yes. He said, now it's like any other sin area of my life. Now I can control it. I can crucify it, where before deliverance, he could not control it, and he could not crucify it.
And I've seen the standard way of casting spirits out of people. Did it take a long time to get rid of that spirit?
Well, this was our first experience, so we were inexperienced. So first time we prayed, nothing happened. So we said, well, we'll just pray again, and we did. And the second time, he began to vibrate and shake. And it took an hour to get everything out, but it's now quite easy to get demons out, because if we know how to detach them first, then the deliverance process is smooth and easy. But back then, I had no idea the steps of detachment, which were the various different prayers that God taught me over the years.
Now, you were set free of a demon of fear, and in particular, fear of stroke. Tell me about that.
Yeah, exactly. My grandfather died of what I pictured as a stroke when I was about 7 or 8 years of age, somewhere around there. It wasn't exactly a stroke, but that's the way as a child I remembered it. And I was very close to my grandfather. I was traumatized, and demons are not gentlemen. So when I was traumatized, my defenses were down. So a demon of fear of stroke entered me and showed up in my dreams for the next 10, 15 years. And I would wake up 5 days out of the week generally with feeling I had a stroke, feeling I was paralyzed, my mouth was paralyzed, my tongue was paralyzed, my arms were, they were bloated, I'd shake it off and I'd be okay. And when we got into deliverance, I asked the elders to pray for me, and my wife and the two elders were in the living room sitting there and praying, commanding the demon that I thought I wanted the deliverance of to come out, and that was depression and heaviness. But what actually came manifested was this stroke thing. And Patty said, and I felt like my face was paralyzed. I felt like my tongue was paralyzed as they were commanding the demon to come out. And Patty, who was sitting in the living room, she said, it looked like my tongue was paralyzed. And it came out with tears, and I cried, and it was released, and the pressure was released. And I've never had that dream since then, and nor have I had fear of stroke. And before then, I didn't even know what a stroke was, but I remember going into the nurse's office in high school saying to her, I got chest pains. I think I'm going to have a stroke. Of course, a stroke is the head, not the heart.
But seeing such fruit from this deliverance for a long period of time, you stopped praying for deliverance. Why?
Well, I did. After I prayed for a few hundred people, Christians, to get delivered, I got very frustrated because and the day that I quit was when this man, we spent an hour shouting at this demon, saying, in the name of Jesus, we command this demon to leave now. And the demon was the guy was shaking, the guy was sweating, the gruff voice was saying, I'm not coming out. And so we said, you are coming out in Jesus' name, and it would not come out. And it didn't come out. And I was really frustrated because I said, God, I said, the Bible is very clear. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. And this demon did not bow his name, and I have no idea why it didn't work. And I am so frustrated, I'm going to quit because I can't understand what's going on here. So I quit.
For how long did you quit?
Probably for about 10 years or so.
And you know what? The devil succeeded in taking away a part of your ministry that was a part of Jesus' ministry. He spent a lot of time casting demons out of people.
He sure did. I counted up all of his prayers for supernatural intervention, and between one quarter and one third of his prayers were to cast demons out of people. And if he's the pattern I'm following, then that means between one quarter and one third of my prayers, I should be casting demons out of people. And for 10 years, I didn't do that.
Well, I think it's so wonderful for everyone that is listening to get their heart healed. And we'll talk about that on tomorrow's broadcast. And once their heart is healed, you've literally dismantled these demons are like attorneys. They go after what they call legal rights, but you can dismantle their legal rights and then they have to go. But until you dismantle them, it's a fight. I like the idea of these seven supernatural prayers to dismantle all legal rights these spirits have on you. And what's it like to be free, Mark, really free?
I have been free now for the last 10 to 15 years of my life. My heart doesn't fear, doesn't have rejection, doesn't have anger. I mean,
whoops, we're out of time, Mishpucha, for a donation of $40. I want to send you these eight CDs and prayers that heal the heart. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.